Welcome to Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. On this broadcast, Shola Adio teaches God's Word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer.
Hello there, this is Olushola Adio welcoming you to Breaking Soul Ties broadcast. On this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio, we'll be looking at emotional soul ties. We'll be looking at emotional soul ties, and it's going to be very awesome, very liberating, and very enlightening. So please get your friends and relatives to get their chairs and their seats and their popcorn and ice cream, and get them to scoot very close to the radio set so we can have a 30-minute dose of emotional soul ties. So once again, you're welcome. Now, I get asked every now and then, what do you mean by a soul tie? What exactly are soul ties? So I'll do that quick definition for you, give you more information about how to read about soul ties, and then we go into the business for today. A soul tie is simply the captivation of your soul, emotion, and will and mind by another person or thing. So if there is something that captivates your emotions, or some person that captivates your emotions, your will, and your mind, then you have a soul tie with that person or thing. So effectively, that's what a soul tie is. I can give you another definition of what soul ties are, so we can attack the subject from different angles. A soul tie is also simply the attachment of your soul, your emotion, and will and mind to another person or thing, something you are attached to. Let's say you have a friend, or let's say you have six friends, but there is one out of the six friends that you are attached to. I mean, that is very special to you. So you could possibly be in a soul tie with such a person, because you share a lot more with the person, you spend a lot more time with the person, you talk a lot more with the person, and you possibly even do a lot more stuff with the person. I'll give you another definition of soul ties. Soul ties exist when there are things or people you can't just say no to, when you should be saying no to them. Let me give you just a very simple example. There are some people that have soul ties with chocolate. It doesn't matter how much they weigh. It doesn't matter whether there's a fast going on. If you give them chocolate, they cannot say no to it. So anything you cannot say no to, you have a soul tie with it. Anyone you cannot say no to, you also have a soul tie with that person. So that's a way of knowing what kind of soul ties exist in your life. Things or people that you cannot say no to when you should be saying no to them. You can read all about soul ties on my website, www.breakingsoulties.com. I'll spell that for you. BREAKINGSOULTIES.com. BreakingSoulTies.com. Now, we operate on quite a number of social media platforms. So you can check us out on Twitter. You can check us out on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Shola Adio, S-O-L-A-A-D-I-O. And I gave you the website name earlier. You can also check us out on Facebook. If you search for Caris Ministries, K-A-R-I-S, then Ministries, you'll find us there. You can also find us on Google Plus, YouTube, BlackBerry Messaging, and we also do a couple of internet radio broadcasts, such as this one. So the Twitter address, once again, is Shola Adio, S-O-L-A-A-D-I-O. And on Shola Adio, you can follow me, and I'll get to follow you back, and we can interact and answer questions on soul ties. Then also, I have another Twitter handle called Soul Ties Tweets. Now, on that handle, dedicated to just Soul Ties Tweets. So you get a tweet every half hour, every 30 minutes. About soul ties, so it's not really cluttered with a personal interaction. I'll give you the handle again. It's called Soul Ties Tweets. I'll spell that for you: S O U L T I E S TWEETS, Soul Ties Tweets. And you can also link up with me on Google Plus. If you're on Google Plus, you can link up with me, https://plus.google.com/plus Olushola Adio. And then if you're on BB, you can also link up with me using the following pin, 7C5BBD57. So if you're on BBM and you want to link up with me on BBM, you can use the following pin, 7C5BBD57. And you can also email me on breakingsoulties@charisministries.com. BREAKINGSOULTIES@charisministries.com. I'll spell Charis Ministries for you. KARISMINISSTRIES.ORG. BreakingSoulTies@charisministries.org. So we're going to go into business now. So on this episode, we'll begin to look at emotional soul ties. I think we're going to be treating emotional soul ties possibly over the next 4 to 6 episodes as the Lord directs us. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Now, in the previous episodes that we've had, I think we've had about 5 episodes of Breaking Soul Ties already. I was able to establish one thing, that when we got born again, it was our spirit that got immediately affected. Our spirits got immediately affected. But as we begin to renew our minds, the old ways and the old thoughts and the old thought patterns and behavioral patterns that we came in with from Egypt will begin to get replaced with the thoughts of God. And the Bible says in Romans 12:2 that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we see that and the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So even after you get saved, if you don't renew your mind, you will still behave exactly like a sinner, because you are thinking sin. But as you replace the thoughts that you came in with from Egypt with the thoughts of the Word of God, as you submit your mind for renewal before God and allow God to inscribe his thoughts upon the tables of your heart, then you will begin to experience transformation in your life. But what tends to happen when you don't renew your mind is that your mind is still full of the thoughts that you came out with from Egypt. And there is a scripture I can read establish that. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." So we see here that the Bible is saying that as long as you remain mindful, as long as your mind remains full of the country, that's Egypt, the unbelieving world that you came out from, you will always create opportunities to replicate those thoughts in your current situation. So even as a believer, you can behave as an unbeliever the way you used to behave if your mind is still full of the thoughts from the country that you came out of. So it's very important that we renew our mind. So you discover that a lot of times, when you look at the way people behave, the way you behave, the way we behave, you begin to discover a pattern here that a lot of times it is a replication of something that we've been doing before. A lot of times it's like an opportunity is being carved out for us to return to something that we used to do before. So he says they might have had the opportunity to have returned. So as we begin to look into emotional soul ties, there's something you begin to discover, that on almost all of the occurrences that we're going to look at, people are returning to something. So there was something you used to do before, there was something you used to like before, there was something you used to crave for before, and then you are returning returning to it. And the only reason you are returning to it is because your mind is still filled with the thoughts of that thing. So as long as your mind is filled with the thoughts of the country that you came from, there will always be opportunities in your experience for you to return to those things. And then we begin. I'll read one more scripture before we take a short break. So definitely we've established here now that a lot of times we return to stuff that we were involved in because our minds are still filled with the thoughts of those things. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 9 verse 17 as we begin to zero in on the emotional side of things. The Bible says here in Proverbs 9 verse 17 that stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So we see here from the scriptures that Solomon was saying that, look, things that when people steal waters, those waters appear to be sweet in their taste. And then bread that is eaten in secret, I mean, possibly bread that was stolen, and then was eaten in secret, the Bible is saying that it tastes pleasant. So it appears that things that are forbidden are things that people crave for and they appear to be sweet to the taste. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 20 verse 17 to balance it out. It says that bread of deceit is sweet to a man. So we see that the bread that you steal, the bread that you are not supposed to eat, the Bible says that it is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. So we see here the implication that, oh yes, it might appear pleasant that you are doing stuff that is forbidden. It might look good. It might, be exciting to you that you are doing stuff that is forbidden. But the Bible is saying here that afterwards, that after a period of time, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now, I don't think it's a good experience if I put gravel in your mouth and then ask you to chew on gravel. But what the Bible is saying here is that when you are feeding on that bread that you stole, or that bread that you're not supposed to eat, or that bread that came out of a process of deceit, the Bible says that that bread tastes sweet. But then before that bread gets ingested or goes down your tract, the Bible says that that bread will turn to gravel and that your mouth will be filled with gravel. My time is up now, and I'll see you guys again immediately after the break. All right.
Now back to Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. To learn more about Soul Ties, please visit www.breakingsoulties.com or on Twitter at Shola Adio and at Soul Ties Twitch.
Welcome back to Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Today we've started looking at emotional soul ties, and we've gone through three scriptures in this episode already. Now, I'll just briefly run through the previous two that we read. Proverbs 9:17. It says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And Proverbs 20:17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, and afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now that explains why when people get into things that are wrong, two things characterize characterize things that are wrong, you know, when people do them. The first thing is that those things appear to be sweet. They appear to be pleasant. And that's why the Bible says that stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant and bread of deceit is sweet to a man. So they always, sort of like taste sweet. They taste sweet when they are being consumed. And then another feature of it is that it is mostly done in secret. So two things. One, it's apparently pleasant. Two, it is perpetuated in secret. But then the Bible goes on to add in Proverbs 20:17 that, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. So we see here that even though all these things were perpetuated in secret and they appear to be enjoyable and to be sweet, the Bible says that after a time, the experience will transform into that of someone putting gravel in your mouth and then expecting you to chew on gravel with your teeth. And I don't think that is a very enjoyable experience. Now, for the rest of this session, we're going to look at an example, a practical example in the Bible of emotional soul ties and people who did not do particularly the right thing in marriage. We're going to use that as our base scripture as we launch out into various scenarios that involve emotional soul ties. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'll be reading from verse 1 to the end, very quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon. Now, Ammon, again, sounds very familiar. It sounds very familiar. And besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So let's look at something here. Number one, David stayed back when kings go forth to battle. So he had a lot of time on his hands to think. And then he went on the roof of his house. And then he looked across the street and he saw a woman there washing herself. And the Bible says that the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So we see here that he saw something. He saw a person that he liked. And the Bible says the Bible said that she was beautiful to look upon. So she looked very pleasant to David. And the Bible goes on to say, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, let's break this down into little pieces. Number one, David saw the woman. Number two, the woman was very beautiful. Number three, David did something about it. David sent and inquired, made inquiries about the woman. Number four, David was informed that this was Bathsheba, the wife of another man, Uriah. Number five, David sent messengers to go fetch the woman. Number six, the woman came. Obviously, I don't think she had a choice in the matter. These were Bible times. So he sent messengers to fetch her. The Bible says they took her. So even if she didn't want to come, I think she would have been intimidated. And took her gives me an impression of compulsion. So she couldn't have said no, she wasn't coming. So she came, even if she wasn't dragged to come. And the Bible says, and she came in unto him. And then number six, he slept with her. And then number seven, she got pregnant. And then number eight, she sent and told David. that she was pregnant. So we see here that all these activities were conducted, so to speak, in secret. When I say in secret, it means that Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, knew absolutely nothing about all these events. So David had snatched another man's wife, had sex with her, and she's now pregnant. Now, the other thing I want to highlight again here is that all this was done in secret, all behind Uriah, and it was wrong. It was wrong, and if you read up to the next chapter, the Bible says that the Lord was displeased with David. And let's see the next thing they tried to do. And then David sent unto Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Now, David knew what he had done. He had gotten Uriah's wife pregnant. So Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, was carrying a baby for David, a man she wasn't married to. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest not thou from thy journey? Why then didst not go down to thy unto thy own house?" Now, do you know what's going on here? Now, what's going on here was that Bathsheba was pregnant. Or more like, she had missed her period. So she knew she was pregnant. And then, I don't think they had DNA technologies then. So what David was trying to do here was to set Uriah up to go back home, so that it was like a conspiracy. So to go back home so that Bathsheba will lure her into bed. So while the pregnancy developed, so when the child gets born, Uriah will not be confused about the paternity of the child. Uriah will think that was his child. So this was another act of deception that was following the first act of deception. And all this was still being done in secret as well. But somehow Uriah was so dedicated, he didn't go home. Now that was a bit concerning for David, because if over the course of the next month or two, Uriah did not have a sexual relation with his wife, then Uriah would be asking questions as to where that pregnancy came from. So David was trying to set him up to go sleep with his own wife so that he would think that he was the owner of the child. So effectively, a child will be raised up on Uriah's house that did not belong to Uriah. So the deception will keep on multiplying, and the secret will keep on developing between David and Bathsheba. Now, let's quickly read verses 11 to 15 before we run away. We'll continue next week, and make sure you don't miss it next week, because it's going to get hotter. "And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my own house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and made him drunk. So David intentionally plied Uriah with tons of alcohol so that he could be drunk. And at the even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his own house." So there is a problem here now, that even after David made him drunk, he did not go back to his own house. Now, so that also begins to imply that when men are drunk, they are drawn towards sex. So David understood that psychology. So he applied it onto Uriah, got Uriah drunk, so that by the time Uriah even wobbles home, even if he wasn't in the mood for it, Bathsheba was already waiting, and Bathsheba would, permit me to use the expression, would effectively rape him, because he would have been without his consent. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. So the last thing that David had to resort to here was that he set up a battle that Uriah was going to get involved in and then expose him to danger from the hands of the enemy. So effectively, when David saw that all his plans to get Uriah to go and sleep with his own wife so that the product of his own activities can be concealed did not succeed, the next thing he then tried to do was to get Uriah into the battlefield so that he could die in questionable circumstances through the sword of the Ammonites. And at this point, I think we'll just take a pause here and we're going to continue with this Bible reading next week. You just don't want to miss this, because this will form the basis of the emotional soul ties discussions we'll be having over the next 4 weeks. So till then, you guys just remain blessed and have a great week, and I look forward to having you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow at Shola Adio and at Soul Ties Twitch. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com. To contact Shola Adio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org or on BBM 735-BBD57. This concludes this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio.